If you have connecting flights, it can be a hassle trying to figure out where your connecting gate is located, and if there's a lounge, restroom, or restaurant on the way. App in the Air sends you gate notifications, so as soon as you touch down, you can look up a terminal map and plan out where you want to stop for a snack or a drink. Check out the app for free using the link in the show notes, and get 20% off of your next flight when you book directly through App in the Air by using the code GeoBreeze at checkout. Thank you to App in the Air for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
So this is the thing. When you look at cash, you could go, I can pay just straight cash, or I actually can use cash out using pay with points. So Chase has this one new feature called pay with points. So if you have the Chase Sapphire Reserve and you eat out, you can actually use that those charges to deduct and to cash out your points at the same rate you would if you use the portal. So I chose to directly book through the air through the hotel directly, and then use the pay yourself back feature to get back a statement credit. So I was able to double dip, because when I went back and booked it with it with the same card, I was able to get three times the points on travel and hotel. So that was my I was using pretty much recycling. Purchasing it with the hotel, eating out, and then cashing out all my food bills and expenses to go back and get those points. So I was spending anywhere between 8,000 points a night to 18,000 points a night.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Ben Commoncool from Ben's Big Deal. Ben has been a business traveler since 2009, but didn't discover award travel until 4 years of being a free agent. But once he jumped on board the Miles and Points lifestyle, there was no turning back, and Ben has been an active member of the Points community ever since. Last year, Ben spent 58 nights in Thailand and earned more than 150 elite nights with Hyatt. In this episode, Ben and I discuss the best ways to get to Thailand on points and where to stay in Thailand on points. If you are looking to travel to Thailand, or really anywhere else in Southeast Asia, you'll find that hotel free night certificates will allow you to stay in much more luxurious hotels there versus what you can get in the U.S. Most hotel co-branded credit cards come with at least one free night certificate, including the Marriott Bonvoy Boundless, the World of Hyatt credit card, and the IHG Rewards credit card. If you are interested in any of these cards, please don't apply through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you would like to support this show when you open your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards, which is linked for you in the show notes. Now, on with the show. Hey, Ben, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. I'm also so excited that Thailand looks like it is opening back up to the world. So we get to talk about all things Thailand today. Best routes to Thailand from the US, best routes within Thailand, and the dozen different hotels that you stayed at and which ones are your favorite. But before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Yeah, so I've always wanted to have a career in travel, never actually did. I was almost going to be a crew at one point, but they went on strike. And so I ended up going to the insurance world. And so that's actually how most of us who go in the insurance world gets in there. It's like by chance. And I finally found a job where I was actually able to be a business traveler. And I found out that our travel policy was you could stay at any hotel you want as long as the name Inn existed in the name of the hotel brand. So apparently, that meant I was staying at Quality Inn, Desert Inn, Holiday Inn, and I ended up choosing on La Quinta Inn and Suites. And it was an interesting situation. After traveling with them for an entire year, I finally was able to get two free nights. And out of those two free nights, as a Black Label member, I took my wife to the San Diego property. And I would say it's more like a motel. And I remember waking up to have free breakfast, which is what I was getting her excited about. And it was more like a road truck stand. And she told me after we had breakfast that if this is my version of a vacation, I could leave her at home and don't go on any more vacations. I realized at that point I needed a new job and I needed to find another hotel brand. And how am I going to do this? And so I had gotten a new job and he told me, you need to pick an airline and you need to get airport access lounge. Now, prior to that, I was a free agent. I flew whatever's the cheapest. So after doing that for 5 years and never being able to get an upgrade and never knowing about lounge, I realized how important it is in hindsight, how I should have just decided to pick an airline. Just imagine, I'd flown for 4 years as a business traveler, over 50,000 miles, and had no status with any of them, and didn't have enough points to even go anywhere for free. I mean, that was like completely the worst thing that you could probably ever do as a business traveler. And so today, what I do is I try to help people not make the same mistakes I did or not go down that path. So I've been now a business traveler now for the last 11 years. And I take my family about 9 or 10 trips, you know, around the world and in the US as well.
So what were some of the first cards that you started with when you were like, oh my God, I got to get status. I need lounge access. I've been doing all of this wrong. What were some of the first cards you started with?
I remember really clearly, this is my first travel card. Prior to that week, before I decided I'm going to be a business traveler and finally decide I'm going to jump in, I had gotten, the worst mistake was to get a Chase Disney card just before that for that fantastic $50 sign-up bonus. And then I remember walking into the Admirals Club Lounge in LAX and walking up to the attendant and I said, I'm signed up for the Admirals Club. And she looks at me and she's like, well, would you like to sign up for the credit card? I look over to my left and there's a big banner there. And it was like 100,000 points if I got the card, and it was the same $450 fee. And I look back to the lady. I said, it's $450 for the credit card. Isn't that the same price but as a membership? And she says, yes, but with the credit card, I would get 100,000 AA miles, right? And she says, yes. And she's like, well, why doesn't everyone do that? She says, they actually all do. So literally, I signed up at that day and I collected A miles just for the free bag for the lounge access, you know, and to this day, I still think it's one of the best lounge access cards in the marketplace.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when you were traveling, is it all through the US or were you using this to go back and forth to Thailand in the US so that it's covered for work? How did the job logistics kind of work with covering your travel?
So it was interesting. My boss at the time, so I was primarily flying between Southwest, American, and Alaska, being based here in LAX. And my boss, who was in Chicago, had to fly back and forth with me. And he was a million mile with AA and he had switched over to Southwest as a business traveler. And he pretty much told me, you got two choices. You're going to continue Southwest or go American since you like those two, but choose one. And I decided to choose American because I felt Southwest their miles weren't going to really get me internationally when I wanted to go international. So at that point, I chose AA, not knowing that they were really part of the whole One World alliance and that I was going to be able to leverage my A miles for Japan Airline for Cathay Pacific. At the time, AA was flying to Hong Kong. AA was also flying to Japan. So you had the choice of going to Japan or going to Hong Kong and then connecting on Japan Airlines from Japan or connecting on Cathay Pacific. But what I found out too is that to Hong Kong, you could also fly either that one daily flight from LA on AA, or you had four choices of Cathay Pacific flights. So four out of five flights were Cathay, and they had a lot of availability. So it was easy to find availability, to be honest with you. And it's 70,000 miles to go to Bangkok. And it's 60,000 miles to go to Japan in business class. So, I mean, you think about it. If you go to Japan, it's 60,000. If you go to Thailand, 70. It's literally 10. You get to fly 6-7 hours more in business class for just 10,000 miles. So I really think it's one of the best deals out there in the marketplace to go. AA's zone-based pricing is different than, let's say, United's, where, you know, it may be differing based on the variability. So there's no variable. It is always, all the time, 24/7, 365 days out of the week, you know, to Thailand, it's always 70,000 points. So it's nice to know that there's always, you know, some stability there. So once you hit 70,000, you know, you can get a business class flight there.
Awesome. And that's business class one way.
One way, that is correct. And it's always 110 in first class. So 110 in first class. And Japan has a wonderful first class. And honestly, Cathay is really one of the best in the world. And I would argue too that if you decide to fly One World, you'll probably get access to some of the best lounges in the world. So between, if you fly Japan Airlines and you are flying first class, or if you have Emerald status or Executive Platinum status with AA, you get into the first class lounge, and in their first class lounge, it's quite private. It's not that many people in there. It's quite large. And they also, in addition to serving buffet, they actually have two sushi chefs who actually make sushi for you in the lounge there. Yeah. Yeah. And they, and like you by order, and there's like three fishes of the day, and then they make it, and you know, it's fantastic. And you can have all you can eat sushi in the lounge.
That's incredible. Yeah. How easy is it to find first class availability? Is it kind of the unicorn that first class availability is, or is it actually pretty easy to find it with these airlines?
For one person, I don't think it's that difficult to find. If you're looking, and I travel a lot of time with my wife or with my family, or my daughter who's 9 years old now. And so sometimes trying to find three, that would be a little more difficult. Keep in mind, the cabin may only have six seats. So if there's only six seats and trying to find three, that's literally half the cabin. So usually they'll open it up 360 days, you know, in advance, and they'll usually give it to their own members first. And then they'll usually, American will usually come in next. And then I know Alaska is quite popular, but Alaska is at least a week and a half behind American. So if you were, I don't know if that's changed now during the pandemic, but for a long time, if you had American miles, although you're going to spend a little bit more, you may spend about 5,000 more miles than on Alaska to get there as well, you would actually get availability before the Alaska folks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, and I don't think it's that difficult. And by the way, if you didn't book out that far in advance, once you get within the 14-day window of departure, if you didn't mind, and maybe I would always just grab a business class flight if I can find one. And then as I got closer, I would just check within the 14-day window of departure. Many people will cancel their plans if they, you know, if they've held it on a year ago and they realize, okay, I'm not going to fly it. They'll cancel it usually at that 14-day mark before departure. And then usually that inventory pops up again. So I was able to find one time. One time I was able to fly back from Thailand via Hong Kong on Cathay Pacific. It was a fantastic trip. In first class, we came back in business. We had to move over one day. So I spent another day in Hong Kong, and on the way back, the three of us, the thing that I was just telling you that it's a unicorn, I found three in first class on Cathay Pacific coming back. And when we arrived, there were supposed to be two other passengers on that first class cabin. When I arrived, apparently I asked the purser, the lead flight attendant, I said, where are the rest of the other passengers? They said, oh no, they canceled. So it's just us. So literally the three of us had the whole entire first class cabin. My daughter fell asleep in the first, in her seat in the middle, and before we even took off, and I was going to kind of move it into a chair, the chair into the bed. And the flight attendant, no, don't worry. There's nobody sitting here. So she actually sets up the seat behind her into the bed, and I picked her up and put her down. By the time my daughter wake up, like 2-3 hours later, she ends up calling that the rear seat her bedroom, and the front was her living room. I mean, literally, it was the cutest thing.
That's amazing.
She was only 3.5. I want to say she was probably like 3.5. She doesn't have many memories of most of her flights because she's flown so many times, but she will never forget that Cathay Pacific flight. And it's one of those memorable things I always remember as well.
Yeah, when you have a bedroom and a living room that are separate on a flight, that's pretty memorable. It's one of those core memories, even if you're just three.
When you enter on Cathay, they enter so fast. I mean, you're filling up a 777. They fill everybody up in 15 minutes. We had our own entry coming in. So she never actually saw any passengers. But when we landed at LAX, we had to open up the door and we had to go through the business class side. So we had to go through the back now. And we went through the back. My daughter looks at me and she's like, Daddy, where all these people come from? I never seen them. And yeah. So that she literally thought it was a private flight. And it's funny. As the door opens up, I look out. I see, you know, like in line in the business class section was Lenny Kravitz.
What?
Yeah, he was sitting in the business class section while we were sitting up in front. It was hilarious.
That is crazy. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So how about flying within Thailand? If somebody wanted to fly from Bangkok to Phuket or Krabi or anything else like that, what are your favorite routes there?
So there's lots of, that's a great question. So there's lots of low-cost carriers. That's what majority of people flying in. If you're going from Bangkok, Bangkok's like the central part of Thailand. So going north to Chiang Mai is an hour, and going south to Phuket is like about another hour. So you're talking 1-hour flights So it's not very long. So I think from a low-cost carrier perspective, paying for cash on that is probably one of the best things. You could also use a Chase portal if you wish as well. There are Air Asia, which is a very popular airline based in Singapore, Malaysia. And there, so they call it Air Asia Thai. There's also Air Asia Vietnam. Vietjet also flies there as well. There's a couple airlines like Nuuk and Snook. But the one that I really like, Thai Airways actually has an affiliate too called Thai Smile. And they actually have their own lounge, actually, surprisingly. So this low-cost carrier has its own lounge. It's affiliate with Thai. Now, if you have Starlines Gold, you're not able to get in. But if you have their credit card or if you're flying one of their flights, you can get into the Thai Airways lounge in Phuket. But I wanted to make mention is that probably my favorite airline is a boutique airline called Bangkok Airways. Absolutely my favorite. They don't really nickel and dime. They remind me of JetBlue. If the things you like about JetBlue, they have that. They're pretty friendly. But the great thing is usually they also offer all the all-inclusive. So when you bags are included, so you're not... Imagine like a boutique airline. That's what they call themselves. They call it Thailand's boutique airline. But they're a low-cost carrier that actually does not have first class. So like a low-cost, but they include everything in. So seat selection's included. The bags are included. And there's something that I just find amazing is that they have a lounge for their passengers as well. And not only do they have a lounge for their passengers, but they have a economy lounge and a business class lounge. They have two lounges for this airline. Two! So the business class is the extra leg room. So up in the first three rows, you got business class. So business class gets you into the business class lounge. And then if you're an economy passenger, you go into the economy lounge. So they have in Bangkok, they have actually for both. And then and some of the other locations too. And the Samui Airport, if you ever go to Koh Samui, which is an island by itself, is an international airport as well. They actually own that airport. And so they kind of have the lock on the flights coming in. But one of the things about it is that the priority pass will also get you into the business class lounge. So even if you don't fly business and you're flying economy, if you whip out and flash that priority pass, they'll get you into the business class lounge. And then they'll have kind of a sit down menu as well for you to order. And massage chairs, like new massage chairs, like if you're in the Jiao lounge. So it's like fantastic. So it's probably one of my favorite things about flying Bangkok Airways. You can be able to use your priority pass to get in.
Is it a person massaging you while you're draped over a chair, or it's just the animatronic chair?
It's one of those chairs where it's a massage chair. You can be able to control it. Yeah, and they have two of them in there. Yeah, no, they don't have the... Actually, if you're in the Phuket, there's a Coral Lounge. The Coral Lounge is another priority pass lounge that actually does have a person giving you massage. And they also, so actually in Phuket, quite a bit of priority pass. I know people kind of poo-poo on priority pass, but, you know, I mean, sure, you're not always flying business class all the time, but if you're not and you're internationally, I actually like international priority pass lounge. They're actually really, really good. Maybe not at the level of, you know, flying Emirates or flying Qatar, but I mean, for what it is, it's fantastic and a great refuge. I definitely recommend people get a priority pass.
Oh, absolutely. For anybody who doesn't already have priority pass, get right on that. Get a right. Chase Sapphire Reserve and Amex Platinum, something that has priority pass access, and you will not be sorry.
Or even that Capital One Venture X now, which is a hot card right now.
That is a very hot card right now. Also has lounge access. If you are listening to this episode thinking, I wish I could travel like this, but I don't know where to start, I offer free credit card consultations by email at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. Additionally, I host a masterclass and group coaching session each month. You can find the links to sign up for the consultations, monthly masterclasses, and Patreon, which gets you access to the masterclasses and also recordings of all past events, in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout-out goes out to Ashley. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. So let's talk about hotels, because I know that you were in Thailand for months this past year.
Under 60 days. I think it was like at 58 days.
That is a lot of days. And you stayed at many, many hotels. 12 hotels?
About 12, yeah. 12 hotels. Four were Hyatts, three were Marriotts, two SLH, which is a small luxury hotel partnership with Hyatt. Also an Accor hotel called the Banyan Tree, which is quite nice. And then also a local Thai hotel called Dusit. And they came out with a brand new hotel in Hua Hin. So yeah, I was in about like five or six different cities or areas where resort-wise, as well as in Bangkok. So great properties. I would say all of them were exception maybe one, I said, out of the 12 hotels, I think 10 of them had a pool that was attached to my room, like a private pool. It was a villa. So it was quite exciting. And I would think I was spending anywhere between, and you know, on this trip, I was trying to focus on doing using Chase points. So I used American to fly there, but I was using Chase points pretty much throughout the entire trip. So I was pretty adamant on, I was going to make this a Chase trip, kind of a branded around that. And I also use a lot of my free night certificates. In fact, I actually miscalculated, because by the time I got there in November 20th, right around like Thanksgiving, I was planning to come back for Zorkfest in Vegas by the middle of December. But at that point, Omicron became kind of an issue. And I said, you know, I'll just stay here. So I was originally only going to go for 30 days. I was not planning to be there for a whole 2 months. And I said, you know, forget it. It's going to be Christmas and New Year's. I'll just come back after New Year's. And so that's why we ended up staying a little longer. But there was so many places to go and see that I wanted to go do. And I'm like, this is the time, I'm going to do it. And I actually think it's a great time to go. Mass adherence is really big, but there's very little cases when you really look at the overall comparison to what we have here in the United States. I mean, for a year, Gossamui didn't even have one case of COVID. Like for a whole year, they didn't have one because they blocked off themselves even from the rest of Bangkok and Thailand.
That is crazy. Wow.
Yeah. The Grand Hyatt Air One was literally running for $80 a night, and it included breakfast if you're a globalist as well, and lounge access and all that good stuff. So highly recommend the Grand Hyatt Air One. We ended up staying there a whole week. My daughter really likes it. In hindsight, my daughter really liked it for a city. For out of the 12 hotels, I was actually quite surprised that she really liked that. And then we moved on. And from there, we ended up going down to Phuket. And when we went down Phuket, one of the first hotels that we were going to go stay at, which was interesting, was a hotel that one of my friends had gone to. It's called Khi Ma La. Khi Ma La is a SLH hotel, small luxury hotel. It's category 7, 30,000 points a night. We were there for a few nights. That one, you're going to have to use points because I think room rates are usually somewhere between $500, $700. But is a treehouse theme, bird's nest, cottage park. They have all these themes and they're literally up in the sky. So and every room is a villa. It's not really a kid friendly hotel, although we do a lot of family hotels, but it's just the reason it's not kid friendly is just because there's a lot of beautiful landscapes. And if you jumped off something, they don't have guardrails for kids and things like that. So they kind of gear it toward adults. But my daughter, it was fine for her. She had no problem with it, but they just want to make sure that the kids are safe if they do go there. But great honeymoon place. The food was fantastic. Indian food as well. And something new I've been seeing in Phuket was that a big push for Indian cuisine. I saw a lot of places, a lot of Indian chefs. They've been, it's a growing market, I guess, right now. So that was a wonderful place. Another place we stayed at, which was the Banyan Tree. It's an Accor hotel. A lot of people do not know it. It's a little bit north of it, but it's more of a golf course. So if you like having your own villa and having golf course, it's great. Room rates are usually $150 to $250. Once again, you can always use points if you like. Accor has a program as well, but it was probably one of my least favorite ones. The room was great, but the hotel was just, it was okay. And I didn't really care for breakfast. I'm kind of a foodie and I thought breakfast was kind of blah for me. So
what made you decide to stay at the Accor hotel since you're mostly a Hyatt guy?
Okay. So the reason I stayed at the Accor hotel was during the pandemic, Banyan Tree was doing this deal with a gift certificate. Basically, they would give me afternoon tea. So that's the other thing. Sometimes you got to have to look out, you know, if there was something, you know, they literally had like a deal where it was like $150. It was like, I think I paid $300 for like two nights and had afternoon tea every day. And it was going to be a two-bed, a villa. I mean, I got the room. This was not even an upgrade. The room I got was a room that I paid for, which was basically Serenity Villa, brand new room, had a bathroom, had a room, and then it had a whole backyard private with its own full-size private pool. And it was brand new. They just like opened it 2 years ago. But because it's during the pandemic, I don't think anybody even stayed there really. And they had bicycles to take you. They had free kids club. One thing I have to say I like about in Asia, all the kids club pretty much are included. Like it's not extra. So it's something that I really liked about it. And I said, you know what? I haven't stayed Banyan Tree. I have been to the one where at. If you've ever been to the Mayocaba, the Andaz Mayocaba in the Riviera in Playa del Carmen. They have a banyan tree over there, and it's really, really nice. And so I said, you know what, let me go try it out. And banyan tree actually is kind of a Thai brand, and they actually have one in Maldives as well. So if you like Thai food and you want to eat Thai food, the Banyan Tree Hotel is probably where you want to go and find places to go eat. But, you know, I decided, you know, let's go take a look. And that's what made me end up kind of taking a look at that. So I wanted to see a lot of the Phuket hotels because there's tons of them. I mean, if you look at the nicer hotels in Phuket there in Thailand, a lot of them are more toward the resort side. In fact, Phuket was probably the first region in Thailand to actually open up. They actually called it the Phuket Sandbox. And they were the first ones to open up to foreigners and travel. Which led me to a hotel I was not planning to go to stay, which was the Hyatt Regency Phuket. Hyatt Regency Phuket, I'll be honest with you, has a terrible beach. It's a very rocky beach. Unlike some of the other hotels, that was the worst feature of it. And they turned lemon into lemonade. The owner of the Hyatt Regency Phuket also owns the Park Hyatt Siem Reap in Cambodia, and he also owns the Park Hyatt Maldives. And a couple other properties like the JW Marriott in Khao Lak. So when I went to go stay there, I'd heard they made a remodel. When I walked in, it was like not what I'd heard. A lot of people, a lot of friends who are globalists, don't like the service there. Everything was, you know, it was kind of run down. And even though it's a hotel in 2013, it is not had great reviews. I will tell you, this remodel they did, they spent $60 million. I actually have it on my Instagram under Ben's Big Deal. If anybody ever wants to go see what that looks like. But they spent $60 million. They had just opened up. I was probably one of the first people there. And I'll tell you, the food was incredible. You know what they did? They hired the Park Hyatt Maldives manager to come over, the GM. He came over and he's now running the Park Hyatt Phuket. The Park Hyatt Siem Reap in Cambodia, it's closed right now because of Phuket, because of COVID. So they brought him over there. So the executive chef and then the director of rooms, he's also Park Hyatt Siem Reap. So you got three of the four managers all run by Park Hyatt. So literally I call it the Hyatt Regency. That's the Park Hyatt, you know, run it. And they do a fantastic job. They didn't really invest too much in the rooms, but they do have family rooms. So if you have kids, they actually have their own room with a door and everything. And then there's a pool with, you know, in the terrace. It's really nice. So, but their pool is fantastic. They opened up a new, brand new, like a food hall. It looks like you went into one of those Thai malls. It's unbelievable. Food quality is great. It was probably the best of all the places I ate it. Out of the 12 hotels, they absolutely had the best food. Fantastic property. They have a teppanyaki. They opened a high-end teppanyaki place, which I'm not a fan of teppanyaki, but I'll tell you, when I went in there, I'm like, wow, this teppanyaki looks pretty good. And then the lounge got moved up to the top of the sunset room. So there's a beautiful sunset at the lounge. The lounge is fantastic. They have a chef up there and they serve food. And then they actually are opening up a tapas restaurant as well. So fantastic property. And it's a category 3.
It's only a category 3?
Category
3. Nice. Where'd you go after Phuket? Or where'd you go after that hotel?
Ratcha, which is an island I hadn't been to before. I didn't even know it existed. And I only found out about it when I was leaving Kimala. One of the managers was saying, oh, you should go. I was like, oh, I'm thinking about going to the island. He's like, you should go to Khao Ratcha. By the way, I'm on this trip with no plan. I didn't even pre-book. I'm like booking it as we go. I'm literally booking this as we go because I didn't know how long I want to be there. If I want to stay longer, I'll stay longer. So I'm just booking as we go.
Are you working remotely during this whole time or just banked up vacations and you're like, I'm going to burn all the vacations?
So I have this rule. If I ever leave a job, I go on vacation. And my wife is always nervous about it. She's like, well, you don't have a job. I'm like, I don't care. If I'm leaving a job, I'm always going to go on vacation. And I said, this was Thanksgiving so I was only going to go for a month and then I was going to come back and, you know, get my life going again. So I was like, no, I love doing it during these times because then I don't have any responsibilities. I can just enjoy the travel part of it. So I just made a career change right then and there at that time in November. So I think it happened just 2 weeks before. So I literally planned my trip 2 weeks before. This 60-day trip was literally planned 2 weeks before my arrival. I would have gone earlier, but I had my daughter who was in school. So I had to figure out how I was going to be able to make this happen. And so we went over to Khao Ratcha, which is SLH. And probably the best island, you know, property I've been to. It's beautiful. The water is beautiful. It's blue. It's on a cove. You know, you don't need it. I mean, I could have stayed there I think 3 days is great. 3 days is wonderful. And, you know, they're opening up. So it's a great property. I really liked it. I think I recommend it if you're going looking for an island. Copper Chow was nice. Oh, I forgot. I went to another one. Naka Island. This was a Marriott property. This is actually right before Kimala. Marriott property. This property here is a Category 6 property. Naka Island is a luxury collection. I never get to go there because it's always been a Category 6. And it's not anywhere near any of the tourists. It's like most of the hotels on the West Coast. This is actually on the East Coast of Phuket. And it has a boat. And there's a wonderful, you know, when we arrived there, it was raining that day, but there was a boat. They take you, there's a buggy, take you. And it's a wonderful, the whole island basically is this resort. And the manager used to be a Hyatt guy before, and now he moved over here to Marriott. And it was wonderful. There's skiing, you know, there's water skiing, there's jet skiing, there's boats, there's kayaks. You can do all that kind of good stuff there. And three different restaurants. You can eat on the water, you know, eat on the beach and look at the water. It's a beautiful place. Pool's okay, but a wonderful villa. They had like water, you know, a private area. I have to say, I probably like one of their villas, probably one of my favorite. I really love the view, and it was a Category 6. But this is the thing. Category 6 is typically 45,000 points. For some reason, because it was low season, it dropped down to 35,000 points. So if you had a Marriott Night Group certificate, I've never seen a Category 6 go down to 35,000. Because you know how Marriott's doing these peak and off-peak? Well, apparently their off-peak drops down to 35. Most of the time, they're probably 45 to 50,000, and I've seen it go as high as 60,000. So this is a property that goes anywhere from 35 to 60. But if you're able to catch it at 35, I would definitely do it. And so I used 3 of my free night certificates to go and stay there. So it was great. My wife is a platinum, and so we were able to get breakfast included in that.
Nice.
I think I'm halfway through the hotels now. And then one of the things is this, I actually decided to go up to Khao Lak. One of my friends from the clubhouse, she's a Instagram. She lives in hotels, Marriott hotels. She actually stayed at the Le Meridian. They just opened up. I went up to the JW Marriott Khao Lak, which is about an hour north. Very quiet, a lot of families. Fun one. My daughter loved it. The room was great. The bed was great. My wife said that place had the best beds. She didn't want to leave. We ended up staying originally 3 nights. I ended up extending it to like 7 nights. And it was wonderful. And they had like buffets on the, like they had like a Middle Eastern buffet where they do Turkish food and Indian food, and they would have carving. I mean, unbelievable. And then, I mean, I think the things like that, like they had these great things on the beach, and it would be like $60 a head. It was unbelievable. So it was great. Stayed there for about a week. And then I ended up getting platinum status because of those stays between Naka and between Khao Lak. I ended up staying there. And then in the end, I ended up coming for New Year's. And New Year's Eve went over to another property called Vanna Bell. It was another luxury collection property in Koh Samui. So we flew Koh Samui on Bangkok Airways again. That was great. And Vanna Bell, I have to say, if you go to Koh Samui, just stay at Vanna Bell. I don't know where else. It is just absolutely a wonderful property. Category 6 as well, again. But I use FHR. So the Fine Hotel and Resorts, it was going to expire and I was to get $200. So it was a $350 room. I used $200 of it on that. And then I also got $100 for food and beverage, which we end up using it for dinner. And then it also included $100 every night as well as an upgrade. And we got one of the best rooms. They actually had beautiful view every day. I think I had more Instagram lives from that particular property than any other. Just gorgeous place. And their beach was one of the best over there. And then we went to go check out the Sheraton Samui. I'm saying, no, don't go stay there. And then I went down to finally have New Year's over at the brand new Hyatt Regency Koh Samui. They just opened. The GM's a Mexican dude that like literally he's right. He and his family are the only Mexicans on the whole entire island. And I think when we met my wife, who's Mexican as well, he was so excited. I felt like I was VIP because he was so excited. He and his wife, the first time they met, got to speak Spanish in literally a year to someone other than themselves. It was quite hilarious. But beautiful property. I think that property would have been originally in Andaz. And then somehow I think they changed their mind and said, oh, we're going to make this Hyatt Regency. but it has like this cool funky cube, has a wine bar, it has a wonderful lounge. And these lounges internationally, unlike the US Hyatt ones, they usually will serve alcohol as well. So alcohol is included as well. So you can be able to drink for 2 hours if you like, and if you want to drink champagne all night long if you want to. So they have a wonderful restaurant there. The beach is okay, not as good as Vanibel, but I thought it was fantastic. Great brand new hotel that just opened up. And that's a category four. That's a category four. So you can be able to, there's all the ones we stayed at were either four or two. And even now with the new quote unquote devaluation, it's only, you know, keep in mind, even though Hyatt reorganized a lot of the new categories lately this past week for March coming up, Thailand really did well. I mean, a lot of the category threes, like the Hyatt Regency and the Grand Hyatt in Air One in Bangkok, they all became from 3 to 2. They dropped down from 12,000 points down to 8,000 points. So I think if you're heading to Southeast Asia, you'll have a great, awesome selection, and you won't be paying much. I mean, many times I would actually recommend to even pay points. I'm sorry, even pay cash if you want to, because the room rates are so cheap, and then save your points to use them in Japan, because that's usually where it's really expensive. That's kind of my technique typically. I'll save my points for Japan and then use cash or use some pay yourself back situation when you're in Southeast Asia, especially like Bali. You'll have a Leela's for category one. You know, India has like a Park Hyatt for a category one. I mean, category one Park Hyatt. Have you imagined that?
Yeah, those are crazy. Where I'm like, Alila Ventana Big Sur is $3,000 a night. Now it's going up to 40,000 points, but they have them in Bali and it's 5,000 or 8,000 points, depending on what category you get.
I will make mention, as much as I love Hyatt, I stayed in 153 nights last year in a Hyatt, and the year before that was 133. I'm halfway toward Lifetime Globalist. In order to get to Lifetime Globalist, you need to reach 1 million points. I'm at 539,000 points. Most travel hackers will never get there, because their goal is to spend no cash. The only way you can actually get to high lifetime is actually spend cash. So I'm on my own journey, like by myself, to try to reach that point. But once you get there, you don't actually have to requalify anymore. And then you get a category seven every year. So I think I have like 7 more years to get there. But I do like the Hyatt program a lot. But I have to say, when I went back to Thailand my second round, I had to go back again. And I stayed at the Marriott Suruwongsi. The Marriott Suruwongsi was absolutely my wife's favorite hotel, because it had a full kitchen, washer, dryer, and everything. And she was able to wash all her clothes and do all those things. And the food was great. The restaurant was wonderful. The hotel was great. And they have tons of residences. So it's a half hotel, but the other half is like 1-bedroom residence, 2-bedroom residence, 3-bedroom residence. And I was able to take a look at the vice presidential suite and the presidential suite, which is way over the top. So I have some of those documented in my social media, on Instagram and TikTok as well.
Nice.
So my favorite one. So, I mean, I give it to Marriott. They did really well in Bangkok as well. So a lot of the Marriott properties I stayed at, I really, truly enjoyed as well. And I think that's the difference. I think Marriott internationally is really different than Marriott United States domestic. I think once we go international Marriott's, I have no problem with them. Their system giving me credit was still terrible. Try to get credit from them when they don't give it to you. That doesn't change. But their properties were unbelievable at an international level rather than what you get here in the United States. So if you're primarily a domestic traveler, I highly recommend, and you're looking for a good experience, I highly recommend Hyatt. But once we go internationally, I think Hyatt and Marriott are about even from that perspective.
Good to know. Yeah. This was all fantastic, with all of the hotel recommendations throughout Thailand. From everything that you learned with this trip and everything else in Thailand, what's your number one piece of advice for listeners today?
I would say that I know it's a far trip to get there, because, you know, going to Japan was like about, from LA, even from the West Coast, that's about 10 and a half hours. And then from Japan down to Bangkok, that's another 6, which makes the second leg look like easy, you know. So it is a long trip. It's about 20 hours. But if you fly business, I highly recommend. I book a lot of things for my clients for award booking as well as a award travel consultation. And I find that if you fly business, you will make it a much better. You'll have lounge access, not only here, but also in Japan or also in Hong Kong. once Hong Kong opens up. But out of Japan, there's tons of flights all the time. You can use American miles, you can use Alaska miles. And those are not transferable from Amex and they're not transferable from Chase. So I highly recommend if you're going to go outside those and you're actually going to get a co-branded card, I actually think American is a fantastic one. Another way to get American miles too is through Bilt. So if you are in a niche with Bilt, then you can go through that route as well. But I think American miles doesn't have to be used for American. You can use it for their partners, which is their family of Oneworld, which is Cathay and Japan, or use it for Qatar. So I just think that American miles are underrated because people think of the airline and go, I don't want to collect American miles. I want to fly American. I'm like, you don't have to fly American. That's a dichotomy. A lot of people come, like I run Clubhouse rooms and I have a lot of people who are running Delta, and they want to collect more Delta miles because they fly Delta all the time. And I'm like, well, just because you fly Delta miles doesn't mean you got to go get their card and collect a whole stash of Delta miles, because when you're going to fly internationally, you're going to be sorely disappointed that you'll never have the 350,000 miles they want you to have so that you can fly to Johannesburg. And you're going to be, you know, sorely disappointed when that time comes. As I mentioned, American's flat rate for now, until that changes, you know, it's 70,000 to go from U.S. to Southeast Asia, you know, for basically 70,000 miles. And it's a fixed rate as opposed to being a variable. So you know what you need to get. And so if you get 140, you got round trip. You have, if you have 280,000, you can run two people round trip in business class. So I think those are nice marks and easier for people to measure.
That is fantastic advice. And speaking of fantastic advice, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who listeners should check out for awesome points and miles tips?
I think there's a lot of people. I think there's a lot of great people who give great points. One of them that pops up in my mind right now is Mommy and Me Travels. She actually does a lot of family travel. She's kind of a newer one on the scene, but I think I really like her. Name's Tiffany Gilden. I talk with her all the time. I'd love to help promote more of the females in the space. I know our space tends to be very male dominated. And so I'd love to see more, you know, female travel hackers, you know, Travel Hacking Mom, people like that. Auburn does a great job as well. Auburn Berry. So there's quite a bit of female travel. I love what they're doing with the space right now.
Thank you for promoting more women travelers. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. I think it's important because I will say this, 65% of my market is actually female. It's actually interesting. 60, maybe even 70%. If I run a room, or if I look at people who comment, or if I look at my demographic, it's probably about 65% of my demographic are females. And I feel like many times we don't find that there's enough voices that they can be able to relate to, or maybe questions that they have. You know, like not every traveler wants to stay in a budget property. You know, they want to enjoy their a spa or a hotel and things like that. And I think some of the things that I talk about kind of resonate with them. And that's the reason why they like that. Yeah. So on the internet, you can find me on Instagram as well as on TikTok under the same name, Ben's Big Deal. So Ben's Big Deals, you can find me there. And then I'll usually show tips and tricks for things. I also can find me on Clubhouse. I'm one of the few points and miles people that continue to have discussions about points and miles. And there's another guy who runs and he does more for the beginner stuff. Mine's more for the intermediate focus. So we'll talk about hotels. We'll talk about loyalty programs and whatever else is hot in the world. So if it's new news, I usually cover it in our discussions here in the Clubhouse.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ben, so much for coming onto the show today. We learned so much about all of the different options within Thailand. And thank you so much for all the information that you provided today. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!